Hallelujah! Christ is risen.
The Lord is risen indeed. Hallelujah!
Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Let us pray. Almighty God, whom truly to know is everlasting life, grant us so perfectly to know your Son, Jesus Christ, to be the way, the truth, and the life, that we may steadfastly follow his steps in the way that leads to eternal life, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever.
Amen. Our reading from the Acts of the Apostles. The angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Get up and go toward the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a wilderness road." So he got up and went. Now there was an Ethiopian eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, in charge of her entire treasury. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning home. Seated in his chariot, he was reading the prophet Isaiah. When the Spirit said to Philip, "Go over to this chariot and join it." So Philip ran up to it and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah. He asked, "Do you understand what you are reading?" He replied, "How can I unless someone guides me?" And he invited Philip to get in and sit beside him. Now the passage of the scripture that he was reading was this: "Like a sheep he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb silent before its shearer, so he does not open his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life was taken away from the earth. The eunuch asked Philip, "About whom, may I ask, does the prophet say this? About himself or about someone else?" Then Philip began to speak, and starting with this scripture, he proclaimed to him the good news about Jesus. As they were going along the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, "Look, here's water. What is it to prevent me from being baptized?" He commanded the chariot to stop, and both of them, Philip and the eunuch, went down to the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away. The eunuch saw him no more and went on his way rejoicing. But Philip found himself at Azotus, and it was passing through the region. As he was passing through the region, he proclaimed the good news to all the towns until he came to Caesarea. The word of the Lord.
A reading from the first letter of John. Beloved, let us love one another, because love is from God. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, for God is love. God's love was revealed among us in this way. God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. And this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Beloved, since God loved us so much, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God lives in us and his love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father has sent his Son as the Savior of the world. God abides in those who confess that Jesus is the Son of God, and they abide in God. So we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and those who abide in love abide in God, and God abides in them. Love has been perfected among us in this way, that we may have boldness on the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not reached perfection in love. We love because he first loved us. Those who say, "I love God," and hate their brothers or sisters are liars. For those who do not love a brother or sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. The commandment we have from him is this: those who love God must love their brothers and sisters also. The word of the Lord.
Jesus Christ, according to John.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus said to his disciples, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit. You have already been cleansed by the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me, you can do nothing. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burnt. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, my Lord and my Redeemer.
Amen.
Good morning on this beautiful spring morning when the sun is shining and it's not raining. This is the time when we gardeners, and one of my favorite hobbies is gardening, want most to be outdoors planting and tending our gardens. Luckily, I was able with my grandson's help to get in some summer plantings before we were deluged with rain. So as a gardener, I appreciate Jesus' image in today's gospel. Jesus says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower." As I pondered this image, I thought of the vines with which I am familiar. The beautiful purple-blooming clematis that my dad planted in my front yard just a few years before he died in 1982, and I remember him every spring when it blooms. The prolific English ivy, which has taken over our shady backyard. The fragrant jasmine that my daughter gave me. And of course, all the undesirables like honeysuckle and poison ivy. But even though I know Jesus was most likely referring to grapevines, which of course produce a fruit most worthy of consumption, either as grape juice or wine, I still let myself imagine other vines and other ways where Jesus is the vine, and we are the branches. As a botanist, one image that really speaks to me is this one that I'm going to show you, where the crucified Jesus is embedded and growing out of a kind of vine that has flowers like lilies. This is one of my favorite images. The human body of Jesus, rooted in creation, but not subject to decay, but to the flowering of resurrection. This is what this painting says to me. And during these 50 days of the joyful celebration of the resurrection, I imagine those blooms to be like trumpets on the trumpet vine, booming out the good news. Alleluia, Christ is risen. Alleluia, alleluia. I'll put it by the altar in a minute. When we look a little closer at that image, we see at the top a tripartite branching with three lilies over Jesus' head, a reminder in flowers of the Holy Trinity. Jesus hangs onto the green branches of the vine, much as we hang onto the hardwood of the cross, much as he did hang onto the hardwood of the cross when he was crucified. And these branches bear flowers, just as we too are branches off Jesus, the true vine. The word true in Greek means a lack of forgetfulness. The true vine remembers at all times the communion of the earthly vine with the eternal source of all that is. In other words, the true vine remembers the communion of the creation with its creator. The creation remembers the Father, the vine grower. Jesus takes the image further, saying the Father, in his role as vine dresser, is charged with getting the best and most vintage wine from the vines. To accomplish this, the vine dresser must prune fruitful branches to get even more fruit, and cut out both branches that are unfruitful and cut out those branches that have already died. I know how difficult it is to prune previously pretty large and very vibrant plants, because the late frost this year knocked back my hydrangeas and my fig tree, which had finally started to bear figs. It's difficult for the pruner and the pruned. Pruning hurts. The same thing happens in churches. Once larger, vibrant communities are not back for any number of reasons that are not under their control. As the poet W.H. Auden wrote, if we really want to live, we'd better start at once to try to live. If we don't, it doesn't matter, but we'd better start to die. To grow spiritually, we need two things. We need the desire. We have to really want it. And secondly, we have to take action. We have to make the effort. We see both desire and action in today's first reading from Acts. A VIP, a very important person on the staff of the Queen of Ethiopia, is riding home after worshiping in the temple in Jerusalem. This God-fearer was reading scripture as he traveled. Suddenly, the Holy Spirit moved the disciple Philip to go over to his chariot and join it. As Philip did, he heard the eunuch reading the prophet Isaiah and asked him if he understood what he was reading. How can I, the man asked, unless it is explained to me? At which point Philip explained the good news about Jesus. There is no question that this man, the eunuch, the VIP, had the desire to grow spiritually. He made the pilgrimage to Jerusalem to pray at the temple. And now he asked Philip if he might be baptized. The man not only wanted to be closer to God, but he acted on it. He acted on it. Jesus says, abide in me as I abide in you. Jesus comes to us first. Jesus loves us first. As we read in today's epistle and everywhere in the Gospel of John, and this is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as the Savior of the world. If we love one another, God lives in us and his love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. When we abide in Jesus, the flowers on our branches bear fruit. Okay, these are our branches, and the flowers in time bear fruit. Okay, God chose us first. God chose each and every one of us in this congregation first. Jesus wants each of us to be here right now at St. Thaddeus. I just learned a saying that I had not heard before in one of the commentaries I read. It said, make all your cares into a single care, and God will see to all your cares. This will happen when Jesus purifies all our cares into one big wish. Only one. One big wish that we glorify the Father in what we do. That we desire to glorify the Father, who then mediates divine life and love into this world. All our troubles, all our cares seem to pale before a tragic event such as the terrorism at the Waffle House in Antioch, Tennessee, outside of Nashville. And when I wrote this, I said, I wonder if unconsciously the young hero had one big wish to glorify God as he grabbed for that automatic rifle. Well, this morning on the news, they showed James Shaw Jr. and said he went toward the man with the rifle. He got a big burn on his arm and a bullet grazed him. He's considered a hero. But you know the first thing he did after that experience? He went to church. And the very next day, he set up a GoFundMe fund that so far has raised $188,000 for the victims, four of whom died, the victims' families, and the others who were shot. I believe before I even heard that he had gone to church, that this young man abides in the true vine. And I pray that his life will continue to bear much fruit. But that's unusual. When faced with life-death decisions, pruning takes on more significance. In both our personal and church lives, I believe we are called to ask, what is critical to our lives and to our well-being? And what's just extra? What's fluff, unfruitful attachments that impede rather than foster our spiritual growth? What can we give up, detach ourselves from? And more importantly, what can we take on with God's help? When we desire to glorify God, what actions can we take? Desire and action. When I preached two Sundays ago, I told of Bishop Cole's admonition that we practice resurrection. The good news today is that the vestry has taken a bold step in approving the startup of a small food pantry here at the church. The staff of the downtown Chattanooga Food Bank believe there's a real need for such a local ministry in this neighborhood and vicinity. But this is just another way of practicing resurrection that builds on what the church has already been doing. We've already had Meals on Wheels located here for years. This is what our former rector and his wife also were doing, helping with Meals on Wheels. We've had people truly committed and working for Metropolitan Ministry, Community Kitchen, and on and on. This is just another way of practicing resurrection. I close with my prayer that we all as a congregation can come together to support the efforts, particularly of Shane Simpson and Christian Thompson, in making the food pantry a reality that will give glory to God. Amen.
Let's profess our faith by saying the Nicene Creed, found on page 10 in our bulletin. We believe in one God,
the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten not made, of one being with the Father, through him all things remain. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshipped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
The prayers of the people. Father, we pray for your holy Catholic Church. Grant that every member of the Church may truly and humbly serve you. We pray for all bishops, priests, and deacons. We pray, give us grace to do your will in all that we undertake. We pray for all who govern and hold authority in the nations of the world. Have compassion on those who suffer from any grief or trouble. Give to the departed eternal rest. We praise you for your saints who have entered into joy. Let us pray for our own needs and those of others, especially those on our prayer list. Margaret, Jean, Steve, Nicole, Courtney and J.R., Blair, John and Joan, Paul, Marie, Chuck, Jimmy, Martha, Renee, Jaden, Brian, Teddy, Richard, Regina, Irene, Larry, Gigi, Michael, Joe, Laura, Baylor, Shay, Aiden Pat, Doug, Ed, Alberta, Tom, Angela, Jane, Tony, Sarah, Betsy, Michael, Clara, Georgina, Joyce, Bernard, Russ, Jerry, Sarah, Will, Martha, Shane, Judy, Jean, Richard, Jackie, Helen, Audrey, Pat, Minnie. Are there any other petitions? Bonnie. We pray for the members of our armed forces. We give thanks for those celebrating birthdays this week, especially David Sherrill.
Almighty and eternal God, ruler of all things in heaven and earth, mercifully accept the prayers of your people and strengthen us to do your will through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also
it's easy.
John. Walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God.
Thank you.
up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. But chiefly are we bound to praise you for the glorious resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. For he is the true Paschal Lamb who was sacrificed for us and has taken away the sin of the world. By his death he has destroyed death, and by his rising to life again, he has won for us everlasting life. Therefore we praise you, joining our voices with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, who forever sing this hymn to proclaim the glory of your name. Gracious Father, in your infinite love, you made us for yourself. And when we had fallen into sin and become subject to evil and death, you, in your mercy, sent Jesus Christ, your only and eternal Son, to share our human nature, to live and die as one of us, to reconcile us to you, the God and Father of all. He stretched out his arms upon the cross and offered himself in obedience to your will, a perfect sacrifice for the whole world. On the night he was handed over to suffering and death, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread. And when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Therefore, proclaim the mystery of faith.
Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
We celebrate the memorial of our redemption, O Father, in this sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving, recalling his death, resurrection, and ascension. We offer you these gifts. Sanctify them by your Holy Spirit to be for your people the body and blood of your Son, the holy food and drink of new and unending life in him. Sanctify us also, that we may faithfully receive this holy sacrament and serve you in unity, constancy, and peace. And at the last day, bring us with all your saints into the joy of your eternal kingdom. All this we ask through your Son, Jesus Christ, by him and with him and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever.
Amen.
And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Gifts of God for the people of God. Take them in remembrance that Christ died and rose for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. Let us pray. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, you have graciously accepted us as living members of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and you have fed us with spiritual food in the sacrament of his body and blood. Send us now into the world in peace, and grant us strength and courage to love and serve you with gladness and singleness of heart, through Christ our Lord. Amen.
May the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you today and remain with you forever.
Amen.
Go forth in the name of Christ. Alleluia, alleluia.
Thanks be to God. Alleluia.